This evening's scripture is from Luke 6, 43 through 45. Luke 6, 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick up figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks.
Thank you, Christopher.
What a wonderful day it was. Having our seniors and recognizing, boy, these kids are just growing up so quickly, and they're all getting older, and I'm still the same age. Well, that's the way I see things, just like this morning when I was talking about sleeping on the left side of the bed. That's when you're laying down and you're on the left. I had to explain that to Joe Jeffries this morning. And he said, well, is that when you're at the foot of the bed looking at it and you're on the left? And that's way too deep. It's hard having a good heart today. It's not easy. It's depressing seeing the decay of morality in our culture. It's heartwarming when we look at our children and we think and we pray, and we've positioned them to be the answer to the problems. Because Jesus is the answer. And if He's in their heart, they're the answer to the problems of today. Tonight I want to talk about a good heart. There was a man named Saul of Tarsus that we read about at the end of Acts chapter 7 and into Acts chapter 8. Who really thought he was doing the right thing. But when it comes down to it, he was doing the wrong thing. There was a man named Hezekiah that we know was king. And God told Hezekiah to put his house in order because it was time for him to die. And yet Hezekiah did not have a son. The Bible talks about Hezekiah. And it's not that he had a great health issue, but he had a heart problem. There was the greatest king that ever lived. His name was David. David was a handsome young man who trusted God, who knew God as his shepherd like no other probably ever has. Probably more so than his son Solomon ever conceived of knowing God. And David is recognized in the Old Testament and is quoted in the New Testament as a man after God's own heart. But even a man like that, who is so good of a king and who has such a heart that he wants to build God a dwelling place. But yet we find David committing some adulteries, not just in the heart, but with somebody else. It's not fair for people to look at simple incidents, momentary decisions, and to say, well, that guy is a bad guy. I mean, he's done three things wrong that we know about. He's a bad guy. But that's not necessarily true. What we need to consider is the fruit of his whole life. And I have to say this. I would imagine there are times when we have our peaks where things are going very well and it's easy to stand up for God and it's easy to read the Bible and it's easy to hear truth, but then there are times that we go through the valleys where it's very difficult and we wonder, why would God lead us through the valley of the shadow of death if that's where we are? The heart Three things quickly tonight. I said quickly this morning, and you thought I went really slow, but I did go quickly, or I tried to anyway. But number one, protect your heart. You've got one. You've got one. In the book of Proverbs, we want to turn back to the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4. And we start reading at verse 20. And there are some things worth noting from this passage of Scripture. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. The proverb, the book of Proverbs, is not always absolute facts. That's not the issue of Proverbs. The issue of Proverbs is these are good sayings that should come true, but not necessarily. And in this case, he talks about the heart. He talks about listening very closely to the words that God has said. I suppose then, if I'm listening to God's word and what it says, I'm not hearing other people that try to tell me what God's word doesn't say. And that seems to be where our society is. Evolution has affected religion so badly that most of what's called religion today doesn't appear to be anything from the Bible. Now, if you've been living in a vacuum for the last 25 years, what I just told you was true. Joe and I went and visited Sean Boydston Wednesday. We had a very pleasant visit. And I don't know how long Sean has been incarcerated, and I don't care. But Sean has written a very, very good paper about the church. Sean is studying Greek. He probably knows more Greek than I do. He has a lot of time to spend studying the Word, and he has studied, and he has written a very long paper about why the Lord's church should sing. And it's a good paper, and it's absolutely correct. And as we were talking with him, it's very clear that Sean doesn't know what's going on in the outside world. He's still back in whatever decade it was when he was incarcerated. He doesn't see what's going on in the church. And there are a lot of other people who don't see, but they ought to see. Two things about guarding your heart. Number one, what you hear. What you hear. A long time ago, we lived in Andover, and we had two young men that used to make fun of me. And they loved it. They were both bigger than me, and I let them make fun of me. Who was I to stop them? They were Charles Gardner. Charles was about 6 foot one, good looking kid. And then there was Steve Rauhoff. He was about 6 foot six. And I'd get a new suit, and they said, "Oh, is that one of those toddler suits from Garanimals?" And they would hold up big signs in the back when I would say amen, church, and they'd hold them up, and it would say amen. If you don't believe that, just ask Arlie and Alberta Evans. They used to give me a hard time, and that's okay. But you got to be careful what you hear. And Charles and some of the other young people and Steve, there were times that they would go where the Lord's people were gathered on a Saturday night, and they would bring back things, and they would bounce them off of me, things that the Bible doesn't talk about, but these were the things that Christians, I'm not talking about denominational people, I'm talking about Christians. This is what they were talking about. Had nothing to do with Scripture, but that's what they wanted to do. And I told them, be careful what you want. Because Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. So if somebody has a heart where they're not satisfied with God's word, they're going to start listening to other things. Be careful what you hear. Number two, be careful what you see. That's in verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 4. Let your eyes look straight ahead. He's talking about putting blinders on, which I talked about last week on last Sunday evening. It is important what we see. So we have to protect the heart. Number two, we have to fill the heart. Because when we go back to Luke chapter 6, from the text that we read, it says, the good man, in verse 45, brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Going back to the book of Proverbs, to chapter 2. I would love to tell you that my kids are just top-notch kids. Well, and they are, but I would love to tell you that they listened to everything I ever said. And you would say, you're a liar. And I would say, you're right. Because there were some times I was very frustrated with them because they didn't listen. And if they would have listened, they wouldn't have gotten into the trouble that they got into. And it wouldn't have cost them the way that it cost them. But they didn't listen. My son, if you accept my words, Proverbs 2, beginning at verse 1, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now drop down to verse 10. Verses 10 and 11, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. This morning I made the comment in Bible class, I think, that back in 1981, the television show that was the worst show on TV was Dallas. It was a horrible show. Immorality, drunkenness, carousing, and J.R. Ewing. What a horrible show. Nowadays, it would be very tame compared to what's on television. Very tame. Most of these reality shows aren't reality at all. And if they are, it's not the reality we need. Because those people celebrate the immoral conscience of man. And it is up to you and I to celebrate the morality of God. To stand where other people won't stand. To make sure, young people, that when you get married, that you're absolutely pure, that you're, and this is a good word in the Bible, virgins. That's a great word in the Bible. It's laughed at in our culture. That's because our culture doesn't know what truth is and doesn't know what wisdom is. But you see, when Bonnie and I were dating, we would go out, like if we were going to go to a movie, and the movie theater was about five or six blocks from Bonnie and Bonnie's mother's and dad's house. So we would call and find out what time the movie started. Not only that, we'd call and find out in the same phone call, what time does the movie end? And then George and Louise said, you got so many minutes to get back to my house. And anything George said, yes sir, Mr. Fox. Because I was scared of Mr. Fox. Much more than I was of Louise Fox. And so then if we wanted to go get a Coke, we could go to the Sonic and we had 10 or 15 minutes. But you better be back here before that time was over. And you know what they did for me and for Bonnie? They kept us out of trouble. They were brilliant. We didn't ever have to worry about being someplace we shouldn't be. And so most of the time that meant when I went home, I was in bed by 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Because George went to bed at 9. He kept me out of trouble. I listened. In Psalm the 40th chapter, if you turn back there and we'll look at verse 8. The psalmist says, and this is a quote in reference to Jesus specifically from Hebrews the 10th chapter, starting at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. If we know what God wants, it's a lot easier to do what God wants. And the idea of the piercing of the ear had to do with when a slave could be released in the year of Jubilee. If a slave wanted to be a lifetime servant of the master, they'd take that servant back to the doorpost of that man's house, of the owner, and they would put an awl right through the ear, and they would pierce the ear, which meant that would be a lifelong slave. This is Jesus talking. But his issue was, he wanted to do God's will, and part of that reason was because the law of God was within his heart. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And some people wonder, I know we have people come and visit, and I had somebody ask me recently, why do you put daily Bible readers up on the board? Isn't that a little outdated? I don't know. But I think the reason we put it up there is to encourage more daily Bible reading. Because if you have more daily Bible reading, you know what God's Word said, you're more likely to do it than not do it. In Luke chapter 6, when he said, no good tree bears bad fruit, no bad tree bears good fruit, because the issue is a bad tree has bad in it, a good tree has good in it. A bad heart has bad in it, a good heart has good in it. And that's what God needs from each of us. So the third thing, protect your heart, fill your heart, and renew your heart. You may say, oh, I don't need my heart renewed. There'll be a time you do. There'll be a time when you need God to renew your heart. Turn back, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This is the chapter. Hezekiah has been told, get your house in order. So here we are. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, beginning at verse 24. Verse 24. In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. He prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. You see, Hezekiah had a heart problem, but it wasn't the kind of heart problem you and I think about. It was this heart that's up here in the mind, in the brain, and he was not humble. He had exalted himself. And so when you read the next verse, then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come upon him during the days of Hezekiah. You see, Hezekiah got a renewed heart. He repented. He turned away from his pridefulness. Then there's this guy named David. Turn in your Bible to the 51st Psalm. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, after the adultery of David, and after the plan that David devised to get Uriah the Hittite back home, so that Uriah would think that the child was his. And that fell through, and so David sent him back with orders for Uriah to be put in the fiercest of battle, and then to have the Lord's army literally withdraw from him so that he would be killed. And that's what happened. So then David became a murderer. Nathan came to him and said, there was a man who had a little ewe lamb. And there was this other man who was very, very rich. He had many lambs. But the man had a traveler come. And so he went and took the other man's little only ewe lamb that he loved like a daughter. And he sacrificed that lamb. And David burned with anger and said, that man shall die. And Nathan said, you are him. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to a situation where you've done wrong thing after wrong thing after wrong thing? Two things. First of all, you ask for forgiveness. Beginning at verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And this is a hyperbole, which is an overstatement of fact. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned. That's a hyperbole. Because it wasn't just against God that he had sinned. He had sinned against Uriah the Hittite. He had sinned against his fighting men in proposing the conspiracy for the death of Uriah the Hittite. He had even sinned against Bathsheba and sinned against his own wife, Michal. So yes, there were more people than just God in the picture. But it's a hyperbole. He's overstating the case to make a point. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. If you think that through, then if David is speaking the truth here, David is saying that his mother conceived him in adultery. But that's not the point he's making. He's saying, I am so sinful. It is as though I was a sinner before I was born, and I'm just continuing that wicked way. But that wasn't the truth. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. There's the issue. Forgiveness of sins and a renewed heart. And if you think that's not found in the New Testament, it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find this for the Christian, beginning at verse 16, ending at verse 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all, that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We're not losing heart over some of the decisions that we've made. And we look at the entire span of a man's life. We don't look at one or two incidents and say, well, he was a bad man. David was not a bad man. He made at least three terrible choices just with Bathsheba. He made some other terrible fatherly choices with his oldest son. I'm not talking about Saul. I'm talking about the guy with the curly black hair that gets his hair caught in the tree branches. I forget his name. Absalom. Not a good guy. So we don't look at situations and say, oh, they're a bad guy or she's a bad gal because of some choices that were made. We look at the heart and we realize, you know what, if a man repents, that says something about his heart. If a man renews his heart, that says something about his faith in God. And it's all about desire. Do you want a good heart or do you want a bad heart? And if you don't choose a good heart, you've chosen a bad heart. That's why we have to choose to hear God's word and not look to the right or to the left, but look straight ahead and know what God has in mind for us. So now I know that you're here tonight and I know you've made not some of the best choices. Aren't you glad God forgives those? And aren't you glad God allows and enables us to have a renewed heart? I'm glad. Bottom line, everyone in here is guilty of sin. Not one of us in here deserves to go to heaven. Not one. If anybody in here goes to heaven, and I think everybody is going to that walks by faith, and I know that to be true, if we get to heaven, it won't be because of what we did, it'll be because of what He did. And I can accept that. But I can allow that to change me. Just like Saul of Tarsus, just like Hezekiah, and just like King David. So if you're in the need of being changed or transformed by the renewal of heart and the hearing of God's word, praise God, and you can make that change personally. But if you need our help, we'd love to help you. If there's someone here tonight that's ready to be baptized into Christ, you put it off and you're ready. Ready to make that commitment. As we stand and sing this song, we want to invite you to come. Right now, come while we stand and sing.